not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Mitchell, can you hear me? I can't hear a thing. I seem to be baffled.
Jim? Can you hear me?
Mitch, yeah, I can hear you now. I lost my Skype for some reason. It just
panned. Okay, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Well, there have been a number of developments here where even the mainstream media is kind of backtracking about voter fraud and election theft, from changing its tune from there being no evidence of any election theft whatsoever to being, well, there may be some evidence of election theft, which ought to have been their position from the beginning, but nothing out of the ordinary. And now they're maintaining whatever evidence there may be of election theft, that it's not enough to change the outcome. We even have a reversal by Mike Pence, who will play a key role on the 6th of January, because he's going to be responsible as president of the Senate for overseeing the count. And where Pence has previously lodged opposition to a lawsuit that was going to acknowledge his ability to decline ballots that were sent from the states where the election has been contested, an opposition thereto, where now he's claiming he welcomes efforts by lawmakers to object to the Electoral College vote, which is intended, I believe, to cover his ass. It's a manner of self-survival politically. I'm sure he's taken tremendous heat from Republicans who regard him as a traitor, which reluctantly, I believe, he will turn out to be. Meanwhile, Sidney Powell has adduced massive evidence of foreign interference in the 2020 election. This includes a 270-page documentation of the evidence, plus a 21-page executive summary. In my opinion, this appears to be sufficient to trigger the actions that are authorized under the executive order the president signed on 12 September 2018 in response to the theft of the mid-year election, where he saw it coming, which authorizes him to seize foreign companies, their assets and personnel that were involved in election fraud, but also others who were aiding and abetting them, which may even reach to CNN, MSNBC, potentially even the Washington Post or the New York Times, where we know the evidence is simply massive and overwhelming because Dominion is based in Canada, Scylla, which was being used to count the votes, is based in Spain, and where a raid was conducted in Frankfurt to seize the servers that were managing the outcome, which were being overseen by none other than Gina Haspel, our director of the CIA, who, from all accounts, has decided it's in her best interest to turn state's evidence, and where, in order to conceal her engagement, they have issued a fake obituary. It came much too fast in the wake of the raid and so forth, and appears to me to be an obvious attempt to obfuscate the fact that she's actually cooperating. Meanwhile, the word on the Hill is that Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi are working on rule changes to block the Electoral College objections that are going to be raised. This is very serious. It puts them right up there with Chief Justice Roberts, with Mark Meadows, with Pat Cipollone, as among the great traitors to the United States and to the President of the United States. Meanwhile, we have a warning coming from State of the Nation that during January 6th, when there may be hundreds of thousands, possibly even millions, turn out in support of the president, that the two most powerful weapons in their communist arsenal are false flag attack and agents provocateur. It's almost certain the hardcore Democrat Bolsheviks will result to one or more of these disruptive tactics to, in an attempt to wreck the mega watch in the election protest on the 6th. History has shown their preferred way to crash any orderly patriot protest is to send in agents provocateur to trigger a violent reaction from other strategically placed fake patriots who are trained to counter with even more shocking violence. I have been informed just today that there are Antifa or Black Lives members who are going to dress in patriot gear and infiltrate the crowd so that they can react in just the fashion described here. Therefore, patriots, beware and be aware. Be especially extra vigilant before responding to any provocation whatsoever, no matter how slight. Remember, these radical left Bolsheviks have been highly trained by FBI, COINTELPRO, or CIA Special Ops to execute their disruptive missions with precision. With that understanding, every attendee on January 6th is highly encouraged to watch everyone else's back. The only way to prevent the radical left from sabotaging this pivotal event is for cooler heads to prevail in any ever instance of provocation. Meanwhile, they had an update. Beware, Antifa will wear mega gear on January 6th. Presidential imposter and career criminal Joe Biden didn't just outright steal the 2020 presidential election. He was disqualified in the first place for running for any office of the federal government, I believe alluding to the fact that he's permanently disqualified by having been involved in these corrupt acts. However, I don't have the word spelled out here. Meanwhile, it's clear Biden and Harris are totally unqualified and should not be allowed to be inaugurated on the 20th. We'll see how this all plays out. Meanwhile, Mark Meadows, the very same, has acknowledged that over 100 House members plan to protest the authenticity of the electoral votes coming from disputed states. We're now at well over 100 House members and a dozen senators ready to stand up for election integrity and object to certification. It's time to fight back. According to an Epoch Times tally, 45 representatives have publicly committed to objecting during this short session, and we have now 12 senators altogether, 11 joining Senator Josh Hawley. The final number of members who are going to object keeps rising, but they include a slew of many, including Republican Louis Gohmert, who tried suing Vice President Pence over his powers during the session, claimed last week 141 Republican members have announced plans to object, where that includes Pennsylvania Republican representatives Guy Reschenthaler, Dan Muser, Glenn Thompson, Mike Kelly, Lloyd Schmucker, John Joyce, and Fred Keller. A slew of others, Clay Higgins, Louisiana, Joe Wilson, South Carolina, Randy Weber, Texas, Barry Loudermilk, Georgia, John Rutherford, Florida, Chuck Fleischman, Tennessee, Kevin Hearn, Oklahoma, William Timmons, South Carolina, and Representatives-elect Byron Donalds of Florida and Kate Kamrick of Florida have also asserted that they are going to protest. Mitch McConnell appears to be losing his grip because we have a dozen senators warning that there must be an emergency audit of the balloting that took place in the disputed states or that they're going to reject the electors. The official joint statement comes as follows. This is from Senators Cruz, Johnson, Lankford, Daines, Kennedy, Blackburn, Braun, and Senator-elect Loomis, Marshall, Hagerty, and Tuberville. America is a republic whose leaders are chosen in democratic elections. Those elections, in turn, must comply with the Constitution and with federal and state law. As we know, of course, there were repeated instances in especially Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, where the state law regulating absentee ballots was violated. No signature verification, no postmark was considered, that they were allowed to come in after the date of the election, 8 p.m. on the 3rd of November, which the Supreme Court has actually in the past ruling declared to be not valid votes that cannot be counted. The January 6th, it's incumbent on Congress to vote on whether to certify the 2020 election result. That vote is the lone constitutional power remaining to consider and force resolution of the multiple allegations of serious voter fraud. The most direct precedent on this question was in 1877, following serious allegations of fraud and illegal conduct in the Hayes-Tilden presidential arrays. Specifically, electors in three states, Florida, Louisiana, and South Carolina, were alleged to have been conducted illegally. In 1877, Congress did not ignore those allegations, nor did the media simply dismiss them. Instead, Congress appointed an electoral commission consisting of five senators, five House members, and five Supreme Court justices to consider and resolve the disputed electors. We should follow that precedent. To wit, Congress should immediately appoint an electoral commission with full investigatory and fact-finding authority to conduct an emergency 10-day audit of the election returns in the disputed states. Once completed, individual states would evaluate the commission's findings and could convene a special legislative session to certify a change in the vote if necessary. Accordingly, we intend to vote on January 6th to reject the electors from disputed states as not regularly given and lawfully certified the statutory requisite unless and until that emergency 10-day audit is completed. Objections, we know, are allowed if they're in writing and supported by at least one representative and at least one senator. If those conditions are met, they trigger withdrawal from the joint session and a two-hour debate. The chambers then vote on the objections. It's withheld by a majority vote in each chamber. I'm wondering whether the objections are going to include that Joe Biden and was actually not the real Joe Biden, but a fake, not the real guy. Meanwhile, Ole Domegaard, who has done brilliant work on false flags, including discerning clues from past events, that are left behind at the last has found clues in the Nashville bombing that suggests the next false flag is going to be on Capitol Hill. He found numerous of them, which are indicative, I believe, of the date, of the location at which this will occur. In my opinion, the date has to be January 6th. Meanwhile, we have the oddity that the Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, this week made a statement that appeared to threaten the life of President Trump. This was very ill-timed, but I'm suspicious that it entails a mistranslation. We had a case where a previous Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, made a statement about the Zionist regime in Tel Aviv, saying, "This too shall pass," which was mistranslated by Zionist allies as declaring a desire for Israel to be obliterated, which was not the case at all. I am very troubled, however, that this statement attributed to the president is going to provide a crucial piece of a false flag attack that may be intended to take out Trump or at least a significant number of those participating in the protest, to blame it on Iran. Now, my reason here is multifold. It appears that Israel is very upset with Donald Trump because he has not been willing to bomb Iran. And, of course, we know the incoming Biden administration wants to realign with the Iran nuclear deal. Now, I believe that withdrawal from the Iran deal was a blunder by President Trump, and that that action, as well as the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani, were two actions that were encouraged by Israel, but which he ought not to have taken, which I have condemned in the most serious language in the past, where Soleimani was a great general, also a politically astute diplomat, probably destined to be a future president of Iran, where he orchestrated the defeat of the Israeli army when it most recently invaded Lebanon by Hezbollah and other disparate forces, where he was killed by a drone attack at an airport in Iraq in violation of Iraqi sovereignty, and because he is the commanding general of the Revolutionary Guard forces in Iran, it was in fact an act of war. Now, because Biden wants to regain, you know, rejoin the Iran nuclear deal, which would be, in my opinion, highly appropriate, though I have explained, I shall explain why, in my judgment, the world would be a safer, more stable place if Iran did have nuclear weapons. It looks to me like this could well be a setup to take out a large portion of the Patriot movement, possibly even Donald Trump, and blame it on Iran. But since the Iranians have no nuclear weapons, where our own intel community long since concluded that they were not working to develop them, it cannot be with a nuclear device. I'm therefore troubled by how it may be done. I have seen a report that the FBI has acquired 300 silencers, and of course, firing into a crowd using silenced weapons would obviously be a very provocative act. I was actually asked for an interview by Quads, QODS, International News Agency out of Iran, about the assassination of General Soleimani, where I wrote as follows. General Soleimani was a great military leader and a politician of considerable aplomb who made an enormous difference to the Middle East generally and to Iran specifically. On the occasion of the first anniversary of the martyrdom of General Qasim Soleimani, the commander of Quds forces of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, American University professor and co-founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, James Fetzer, said in an exclusive interview with a news agency that General Soleimani was a great military leader and a politician of considerable aplomb who made an enormous difference to the Middle East generally and Iran specifically. He was manifestly not a terrorist, but the antithesis by marshaling forces against terrorism, especially actions rooted in Israel. It was a great loss for the world when he was assassinated by the Trump administration, which I deplore. He added, although Trump committed a massive blunder by taking him out, his attitude toward the Middle East, by making efforts to remove U.S. forces from a region where they would not have been introduced but for the false flag known as 9/11, which was brought to us, compliments of the CIA neocons and the Department of Defense and Mossad, the greater opposition to the presence of American troops will benefit the region at large. He noted further, U.S. intelligence community concluded in 2007 that Iran was not pursuing the development of nuclear weapons, which it reaffirmed in 2011, months before even the Mossad agreed, only weeks before Bibi went to the UN and proclaimed the opposite, referring to U.S. sanctions against countries around the world, especially against Iran. The U.S. political analyst stressed, the use of sanctions is a form of collective punishment, which is proscribed by international law and the UN Charter. In my view, such sanctions disgrace the United States, where earlier no-fly zones over Iraq led to the death of 500,000 infants. That was grossly immoral, and the President of the United States ought to know better. Peaceful negotiations are unlikely to solve the problem created by Israel's determination to dominate the entire region. Fetzer also talked about his prediction about U.S. policies in the future, saying that if Trump were to continue in office, which I hope with every fiber of my being, then U.S. forces will be removed from the Middle East, and the region will be that much better off. If Biden should gain control of the government, however, then you can expect a resurgence of the failed policies of the past, where the Middle East will continue to suffer from war and death and everything evil that goes along with it, because of the influence of the military-industrial complex Eisenhower warned about. Now, I actually had added an additional paragraph in response to the question, do you think the Islamic Republic of Iran will change its policy after Washington's performance? To which I replied, nor should it. Intel continued back in 2007, Iran was not pursuing the development of nuclear weapons, which I've already presented. My own view is that were Iran to acquire nuclear weapons, it would do more to stabilize the region than any treaties or other agreements by ushering in an era of mad, mutually assured destruction, such as existed between the U.S. and the USSR during the Cold War. Meanwhile, we know the media is refusing to tell the truth during the election. The biggest story on their desktop is a theft of the 2020 election, but not a single reporter is taking up the challenge to dig to the bottom to expose the truth. The silent majority is fearful of what could be done to anyone who decides to speak out or let the world know that the Democrats are cheaters and cannot be trusted. The liberal-loving media has decided to put all their eggs in one basket. Their options are to report on the fraud and turn against their financial backers or support Biden to the very end. They cannot afford to betray their billionaire owners. The power of the dollar keeps the media on a tight leash. I would add that, as I have reported multiple times in the past, Israel controls the mainstream media in the United States, where I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. I have another panel of 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. The Israelis are pressuring Trump because they were unhappy that he refused to bomb Iran, and now it appears to me they're going to make their last effort to draw the United States into the Middle East, which they did so successfully in relation to 9/11, by staging a false flag attack on the Capitol on January 6th that's going to be attributed to Iran. And where Iran, it's sad to say, seems to have fallen into a trap by having a statement from the president that could be so, in my opinion, misconstrued, but nevertheless is going to be used to incite the American public. Meanwhile, talk about absurdities of absurdities. California is trying to pass a law to fine people for false information. On December 7th, the first day of the California legislature's 2021-22 session, Assembly Member Ed Chow introduced Assembly Bill 35, which would require disclosure of social media policies, could have a civil penalty of $1,000 for each day a person is in violation of the bill's provision by spreading misinformation. But what would that include? Denying that Lee Oswald shot JFK when we know he was in the book depository of the book when JFK's motorcade passed by, denying that
narco-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Ravenstar's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
We have some reports about coronavirus, fake pandemic, where Gates admitted as long ago as last May that some 700,000 persons could die from his vaccine, which at the time was more than twice the 263,346 that had been allegedly victims of the pandemic. But we know it's all phony. It's all fabricated. Go back to my earliest study of the coronavirus on the 24th of May, which you can find at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. I was already reporting what Ole Domegaard had pointed out to me, namely that European mortality tables weren't showing any increase in deaths, which would have necessarily occurred were there a bona fide pandemic. And where Johns Hopkins recently issued a report, which they have now suppressed, showing there's no increase in deaths in 2020 over 2019, which once again is an indication that nobody is dying from the coronavirus, and where we know because of State Senator Scott Jensen, who is also an MD, reported very early on last year that he was being pressured to identify a patient who had died as having died from coronavirus, even though he'd never been tested. And it was he who revealed that hospitals were being paid $13,000 for each patient they identified as COVID, $39,000 for each patient that they put on a ventilator, and where, you know, it's a minuscule number who are dying when you sort out the comorbidities, but where to inflate the numbers. We know they're no longer counting flu deaths or respiratory disease deaths as a separate category, from lumping them all together, as even Deborah Burks, MD, had related early on, that we're just lumping them all together, which is completely outrageous and unwarranted. As John Rappaport and Edward Hendry have explained, they're trading on the equivocation over the meaning of the word case, where false, positive test results are being called cases, but where 95 or more are false positives and not individuals who are cases in the sense of being sick. So everyone is responding to the mistaken inference that if you have a positive test on a COVID that you therefore have COVID, when virtually all of us have COVID remnants from having had a cold or the flu in the past. When the president of Transylvania showed the most forthright scientific attitude by conducting experiments when his country was sent COVID tests by trying it out on goats and sheep and motor oil and fruit, and found that the vast majority came back positive for coronavirus. We have a more recent test of a purified fruit that would be for baby food, testing positive for coronavirus. So this whole thing, of course, is a huge, enormous scam intended to lay the foundation for the Great Reset, as most of those here listening to this show are becoming or are already aware. Meanwhile, it turns out COVID-19 manufacturer maker Pfizer paid $2.3 billion in the largest healthcare fraud settlement in history in 2009 this was a fairly stunning development. American pharmaceutical giant Pfizer and its subsidiary Pharmaca and Upjohn in 2009 agreed to pay $2.3 billion in the largest healthcare fraud settlement in the history of the Department of Justice to resolve criminal and civil liability arising from the illegal promotion of certain pharmacological products. They promoted one of their medicines, Bextra, for several uses and dosages that the FDA had specifically declined to approve, and paid a criminal fine of $1.195 billion, the largest ever imposed in the United States for any matter. Pfizer also had to forfeit $105 million for a total criminal resolution of $1.3 in addition. As part of the settlement, they agreed to enter into an expansive corporate integrity agreement, but that appears to have come to naught. According to the co-founder of BioNTech, Dr. Uğur Şahin, the COVID-19 vaccine he designed for Pfizer was put together in just a couple of hours in a single day on 25 January 2020. No other vaccine in history has been created and manufactured so quickly, where previously the fastest vaccine ever developed took more than 4 years. Earlier, we know a nurse collapsed on live television during a press conference soon after receiving Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine at a Tennessee hospital. This was Tiffany Dover, a nurse manager who had been speaking to the media about the city's first vaccination of frontline health workers when she collapsed. We have multiple reports of her death, which they've sought to cover up by bringing in a body double for Tiffany Dover, who's obviously not the same woman, different skin texture, different eyes, different skull features, just as bad as having, you know, the Biden body double appear at the first debate and then continue on afterwards. A couple of weeks earlier, it was revealed in documents released by the FDA that six participants had died during Pfizer's COVID vaccine trial. Meanwhile, another died during a trial of the vaccine developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford University, where it turns out now that a lot of healthcare workers are refusing to get the vaccine for very, very good reasons. About half, 50% of workers in California's Riverside County have refused to take the vaccine, as well as 60% in nursing home staff in Ohio. This is significant. About 2 in 10 Americans are certain they will not change their mind about refusing the vaccine. According to data from Pew Research Center, 62% said they would be uncomfortable being among the first to receive the vaccine. That's particularly appropriate since others are dying on the right and the left. It's just stunning. I do not encourage anyone to take this vaccine, which is going to do you tremendous damage. And from the reports I've seen, the content includes not only aborted fetal tissue, heavy metals, what is probably Bill Gates' own DNA, think about that if you will, but also appears to have some brain interface that they can control you. It may or may not at this point already contain a chip to monitor your financial records, but that's certainly in the works, if not already here. Now, Zero Hedge, built on the Epoch Times, which is a highly respectable journal, I'm very, very impressed, about the four-year-long campaign against Donald Trump. I reported this on the 1st of January, Friday, with Chris Weinhardt on Need to Know, the Fetzer Report, which is available on my Twitter, at Jim Fetzer, and also my BitChute channel, BitChute Jim Fetzer, in greater detail. But let me review some of what we've been going through here. The post-election push to pressure President Trump to concede, despite numerous credible allegations of voter fraud and ongoing legal challenges, is not an isolated incident. This is the culmination of a four-year-long campaign against him, which started during his first run for president in 2016 when the FBI launched a politically motivated investigation of his campaign. During his subsequent 4 years in office, there have been consistent efforts to remove him from office, the first through the Russia collusion narrative and then through impeachment. We know that the House of Representatives impeached Trump along partisan lines. It never had any likelihood of success in the Senate, which was dominated by supporters of the president who could see through the charade. In fact, the three key witnesses who testified during the hearings all acknowledged that there had been nothing illegal about his conversation with the president of Ukraine and that they disagreed with him on policy grounds. Where the Constitution invests in the president virtually exclusive authority for conducting foreign policy of the United States with the advice and consent of the Senate. It's very clear that Joe Biden committed the kind of impeachable offense they were blaming on President Trump when he traveled to Ukraine and threatened to withhold $1 billion in U.S. foreign aid, loan guarantees, if they didn't fire the prosecutor looking into Burisma, where his son Hunter had a cushy job for which he was completely unqualified. Biden gave them 6 hours to respond, after which he would fly home back to the U.S. and they wouldn't get their $1 billion. He even bragged about it at the Council on Foreign Relations, turning to the camera and saying, "Well, son of a bitch, they agreed to fire the prosecutor." This is so outrageous and disgusting that the Democrats have done what Democrats tend to do by accusing Donald Trump of the actions that Joe Biden, who would become their nominee himself, had committed. The Russia hoax, we know, was quite a scam involving violations of FISA, where corrupt individuals in the Department of Justice and the FBI participated in a scam where the dossier that was composed by a former MI6 agent, Christopher Steele, even himself testified under oath before a court in London that it had been prepared in the payment of Hillary Clinton and the DNC. I published a book about it entitled Exposing the Russia Hoax: How the Deep State and the Media Conspired to Frame a Sitting President. Not a pretty story. Meanwhile, Antifa and Black Lives Matter have been making a difference. Dressed in full black gear, including armor, helmets, masks, trained in agitation and basic combat, Antifa extremists have been involved in numerous acts of violence during Trump's presidency. In many cases, they included the use of weapons, rocks, and Molotov cocktails directed at law enforcement and government property. But they've also directly targeted unarmed common citizens for simply supporting Trump. I therefore worry about Antifa infiltrating in Washington, D.C. And of course, Black Lives Matter has similarly been behind the riots, the arsons, and the looting that have plagued American cities for much of 2020. Hijacking concerns over racism, using them to justify its advance of a Marxist agenda. Remember, even the event that triggered it off, namely the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, was actually a staged hate crime, just as were those committed by Jussie Smollett in Chicago and by Bubba Wallace in NASCAR. They were similarly fraudulent, where George Floyd was arrested and handcuffed behind his back and put in a squad car, which ought to have been the occasion for taking him to the precinct to be booked, mugshots, and fingerprinted. Instead, although we have video for other aspects of this event, we do not for him being taken out the other side and laid on the ground, where he now has no hair on his head but is bald, and where his hands are in front of his body, no longer handcuffed behind, because they substituted for George Floyd a Sigma 7 windpipe training dummy. It was all monstrous. I have documented several of my programs. You can find it, jimtheconspiracyguy.com, about Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and how they merge together to promote the DNC agenda. In fact, if you were to make a donation to Black Lives Matter, it goes to Act Blue and winds up in the pockets of individuals like Hillary Clinton, Beto O'Rourke, you know, Amy Klobuchar, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Meanwhile, we know about the virus, but in addition, we've had manufactured narratives, including especially at Charlottesville, which was designed to take the very popular America First platform of Donald Trump and transform him from America First to a white nationalist, to a white supremacist, to a neo-Nazi, using staged events, manufactured outcomes, where the governor of Virginia at the time, Terry McAuliffe, is a buddy of Hillary Clinton, where the mayor of Charlottesville ordered the Charlottesville police to stand down so that the governor could use the National Guard to direct the peaceful crowd into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter members who'd been bussed in by George Soros, even on the same bus. Meanwhile, a few blocks away, they were preparing for a staged event of a car crash that would be presented as driving into a crowd of peaceful protesters, which was completely staged. They used two different vehicles, a Dodge Challenger with a racing stripe and a sunroof, and one without. There were two different drivers. Actually, the fellow, James Field, who was accused of the event, a 20-year-old diagnosed schizophrenic and a 30-year-old military veteran who's in commands a battalion of reservists in Ohio, who was actually driving the car. We had one event, because there were several takes, of the car being driven into the back of two vans that had been parked at an intersection and left there for minutes in anticipation with no drivers so they wouldn't suffer any whiplash. We know there was a second take of just the vehicle itself not crashing into the two vans, and where when the driver backed out after the crash, I was just astonished by his skill at driving a vehicle backwards, which would have befit a NASCAR driver. We had the New York Times publishing a photoshopped image on its front page. New York Times, car hits crowd after white nationalist rally in Charlottesville ends in violence. We know the allegation that a woman by the name of Heather Heyer died during the car crash, but Mona Alexis Presley has established she actually died the following day from a heart attack. Not only that, but the mother of alleged victim Heather Heyer is someone we have seen before. Compare with the Sandy Hook mother. Let the two images overlap each other, change the transparency, and it's a perfect match. So it seems that Susan Brough, the mother of Heather Heyer, and Donna Soto, the mother of Victoria Soto, a teacher from Sandy Hook, is one and the same crisis actor. It's insulting beyond belief. All of which has led up to the massive 2020 election fraud, for which the evidence is simply overwhelming, abundant, and compelling, where Sidney Powell has now released a 21-page executive summary of the evidence in her 270-page compilation. And we know even the Supreme Court has abdicated its responsibility by dismissing the Texas lawsuit against Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Michigan on the ground that Texas has not demonstrated a judicially cognizable interest in the manner in which another state conducts its elections, which is completely absurd. Because if elections aren't conducted in accordance with state and federal law, they do not represent the will of the people, they undermine democracy, and they deny the citizens of Texas equal treatment under the law, because Biden votes and voters were being treated differently than Trump votes and voters, where Lynn Wood has been speaking out about the corruption of the Chief Justice in particular. he has tweeted. Answer two simple questions, and that'll tell we the people all we need to know about Chief Justice John Roberts. We the people are entitled to answers. You work for us, Justice Roberts. Answer these questions. They will not go away. You cannot fly truth away on an Epstein jet. Here are the questions. First, you are recorded discussing Justice Scalia's successor before the date of his sudden death. How did you know Scalia was going to die? Second, are you a member of any club or cabal requiring minor children as initiation fee? Questions raised by Lynn Wood, who's also tweeted, my information from a reliable source is that Roberts arranged an illegal adoption of two young children from Wales through Jeffrey Epstein. I think we can all agree that Epstein knows pedophilia. If only Jeffrey Epstein was still alive, wouldn't that be something? Thereby, of course, implying that Jeffrey Epstein is indeed still alive. And in my opinion, in an even more damning tweet, Lynn Wood reported, in discussing the real Donald Trump in a phone conversation on the 19th of August, Justice John Roberts stated that he would make sure, quote, the mother effer would never be reelected. During a phone conversation with Justice Stephen Breyer, discussing how they would work together to get Trump voted out. That's pretty disgusting. Meanwhile, it seems to me it not only disqualifies the Chief Justice and Justice Breyer from hearing any cases involving election fraud, given their obvious bias and lack of objectivity, but that it implies they ought not to be sitting on the Supreme Court at all. In my opinion, there's evidence here for impeaching them both. Meanwhile, Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has been caught with his pants down. Turns out Georgia ballots were printed differently for GOP precincts rather than Democratic precincts. Were members of Georgia's Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Elections and Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing to study Georgia's election laws and the numerous voting irregularities in the 2020 presidential election. During the hearing, witness Joe Van Pulitzer was invited to testify on irregularities in the November 3rd election. Pulitzer is a brilliant inventor, best known for creating and patenting CRQ, founded companies including seed investment rounds ranging from $1.6 million to over $250 million. On Tuesday, Joseph Pulitzer revealed the differences between the ballots printed for Democrat precincts versus Republican. The Republican precincts had a barcode in the upper right-hand corner so that the Dominion voting machines would reject them. Meanwhile, there are attempts to dismiss Americans who believe in conspiracy theories, but it seems obvious after what we're going through here with the COVID, with a fake impeachment, with the manufacturing of the election, with stealing the election and trying to cover it up, that conspiracies are as American as American as apple pie. According to a new NPR Ipsos survey, 40% of Americans believe what they called the wild claim that COVID-19 was produced in a Chinese lab, despite science and evidence disproving it. One-third believe that election fraud is the reason President Joe Biden won the 2020 election, again, with no proof. But it's obvious. Obama got 69 million votes. He drew a huge crowd. Trump, 74, drawing even larger crowds. Obama got carried 873 counties, Trump, 2,497. Biden, who only carried 477, couldn't get 10 people out to a rally. The very idea that he would have won 81 million votes is preposterous on its face. According to the article NPR is promoting, however, it's totally bonkers. Yet half of Americans believe it's true or think maybe it's true It's terrifying. Half Americans believe it could be the case. But what could be more obvious? With COVID-19 raging across communities in America, conspiracy theories are flourishing. So QAnon theorists take comfort in what Trump says because it's painless. It's easier to make up excuses and lies than face your party losing election, or that there's a dangerous virus killing thousands of Americans. Well, we have an obligation to discover the truth, and the truth contradicts this attempt to besmirch those who accept conspiracy theories for which there's massive and compelling evidence. Anyone who has any doubt, go to my blog and check it out at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. Meanwhile, last night on 60 Minutes, a fake Lenny Posner was interviewed in passing about Sandy Hook. CBS had to hire specialized makeup artists to disguise Posner because of the threats he faces from conspiracy theorists, or so they allege. Robert David Steele published a blog about it where he featured my observations. Since the real Lenny Posner appears to have been using a fake name from the beginning, has had his photograph published worldwide millions of times, why would he need to disguise his image unless it's not the same guy? When I challenged his identity in court, the judge would not allow it and awarded legal fees for my attempts at discovery. See, conspiracy theorist held in contempt of court at jamesfetzer.org, which reported on the first of several actions by the court. Below left and right are photos of the original Lenny Posner compared to a photo of the man who appeared for a video deposition in Dane County under the same name, but who appears to be at least 20 years younger and over 100 pounds lighter, who thus appears to have impersonated him. Meanwhile, we had Larry Rivera do research after Kelly Watt noticed that his son, Noah Posner, appeared to resemble his older half-brother, Michael Vabner, and we established that Noah Posner did not die, but was merely a photograph of Michael Vabner, who's alive and well, and even a graduate of college. Outrageous. There was 60 Minutes endorsing it. I'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
We'll be right back. This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, and of course, you're welcome to call in. Mitch will handle your call, the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. I'm noticing here a new report that Congress has approved the rules regulating the January 6th electoral vote. Let me see. This is from the Epoch Times. Again, as I say, this is a wonderful publication. I'm very, very impressed. Very high quality, very well written, very well organized, just good stuff. So I'll pick up on what they have to say and to see if it conforms with other reports I have about how this ought to go down. Here we go. Congress approves rules regulating January 6th electoral vote count. The House of Representatives and the Senate on Sunday adopted rules that outline how the counting of Electoral College votes will take place on January 6th. The rules were passed without recorded votes. Instead, a voice vote was used in both chambers. The guidelines introduced by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the chamber will meet in a joint session on January 6th, presided over by Vice President Mike Pence. Pence, as President of the Senate, will open all the certificates and papers purporting to be certificates of the electoral votes, the rules state, a nod to how seven states sent so-called competing electors or certificates for both Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden and President Donald Trump to Washington. The certificates and papers will be opened, presented, and acted upon in alphabetical order, starting with Alabama. This is when dozens of Republicans, 50 representatives and 12 senators, according to an Epoch Times tally, are planning to object to some certificates, alleging election irregularities, including voter fraud and failure to follow state election law. That will trigger a withdrawal from the joint session and a two-hour debate, followed by votes in each chamber. Only with a majority vote from both the House and the Senate would a challenge be upheld, which even supporters find unlikely, considering Democrats who control the House and Senate Republican leadership, including McConnell, have expressed disapproval with a plan to object. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, in a letter to colleagues on Sunday, noted objections can happen, but said that at the end of the day, Biden will officially be declared our next president. On Monday, we will have a clearer picture of how many state votes will be subject to an objection. Our choice is not to use the forum to debate the presidency of Donald Trump. Representative Ron Estes, Republican of Kansas, Tracy Mann, Republican of Kansas, and Jacob Lautier, Republican of Kansas, said Sunday they will join the objections, saying in a statement that several states are now facing serious allegations of voter fraud and violations of their own state law. This action is not to be taken lightly and comes after extensive study and research. Kansans deserve to know that all legal and only legal votes were counted. We hope our action begin to restore the confidence of tens of millions of our fellow Americans that their sacred right to vote is under attack, who feel their sacred right to vote is under attack. Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio and Richard Huddleston of North Carolina have also announced they will attack. But seven Republican representatives, including several strong Trump supporters, said they will not join the effort and denounce the move. Of the six states as to which questions have been raised, five have legislatures that are controlled by Republicans, and they all have the power to send a new slate of electoral votes to Congress if they deem such action appropriate under state law. Unless that happens between now and January 6, 2021, Congress will have no authority to influence the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. To take action otherwise, that is, to unconstitutionally insert Congress into the center of the presidential election process, would amount to stealing power from the people in the states. It would, in effect, replace the Electoral College with Congress, and in so doing, strengthen the efforts of those on the left who are determined to eliminate it or render it irrelevant. The weekend saw a flurry of actions with 11 senators following Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri and announcing they'd join in the objections unless Congress appoints a commission to examine alleged election irregularities. The idea is modeled on the panel formed in 1877 amidst a contested election. Hawley's December 30th announcement triggered a number of House members to announce their intention to object. The number planning to do so has more than doubled since then. A segment of Republicans are focusing on Pence's role in the proceedings. They sued the vice president and asked the court to rule he has exclusive authority to decide between dueling electors. A judge dismissed the case, and an appellate court rejected an appeal. Pence had asked the court to dismiss the suit, but said through a spokesman on Saturday that he supports efforts to challenge electoral votes. Vice President Pence shares the concerns of millions of Americans about voter fraud and irregularities in the last election. Pence Chief of Staff, Mark Short, said in a statement sent to media outlets. Well, that's the latest from the Epoch Times. Paul, we have a caller here. I want to mention, Paul, that we have been reminded by the Administration for Revolution Radio about our use of language. So while I'm glad to have you back, you and I and every other caller want to be moderate in the use of, shall we say, four-letter words. Paul, join the conversation.
Was I specifically mentioned in this admonition?
No. I specifically mentioned you because, you know, I'm sure it was some of our exchanges that led to that. So it's just my inference. But no, you were not mentioned by name.
Yeah, probably not. I know on occasion I have, but it's just like
You recently dropped an F-bomb, Paul. It was
soft. And I, you know. And ING, I did. But there was a caller the other day, I think it was last week sometime, who did multiple repeated F-bombs in his call. And I was actually on the call, and I kind of reminded him. But
was that,
anyway,
was that a call to this show or to another? Because I don't
know. I've actually heard it on others, but it was on your show, but Carl Herman was guest hosting, and those actually went pretty
Wednesday or Friday. I heard Carl did a wonderful job, and of course, the sergeant and the other caller were both terrific. That was George. So I heard very, very good reports where I had family conflicts, and I was really glad to have someone of Carl's caliber to sit in for me.
Right. So two things that you said amongst the many things that were interesting to me. One, you know, Pence's chief of staff. You know, really, Pence has got so much going on, he actually needs the chief of staff, huh? We won't spend that long on that one. But something you said about 40% of Americans believe that the virus was created in a lab in Wuhan, which I don't know. I find hard that that would be to measure, but let's assume that it's true. That just shows you how, you know, again, like this whole virus corona COVID episode has demonstrated how gullible and easily misled by stupid propaganda people really are. And it's in my opinion, the most troubling thing that has come out of this. I think that there's still enough real Americans who can see through BS that can, you know, steer the course of this country back where it needs to go. But I, you know, I again am worried, as you probably are, but if you have seen what I've seen in a very populous area in Bay Area, California, where I'm at, and I get around a little bit, I'm working more now, and I'm out and about, and it's just, it's extremely troubling. I've not met one person that can articulate anything. Forget about what they believe. I've gotten conversations and had confrontations with many people. A lot of them have opinions, and some of them are in agreement with yours and mine, but they can't articulate anything, and they know nothing. And this, to me, is, you know, it's just, I view this whole election scenario, it's very similar. You know, you've read and covered many things, and you just went over this court decision. And I'm asking myself, okay, well, what is it? You know, what is it that they're going on? Is it the vice president? Is it the Senate? Is it the Congress? Is it the state legislatures? And what do they base their decision on? In other words, if they can't really know the truth or the accuracy of the vote, then what does it come down to? Their opinion, partisan politics? The average American has got to be, if he knows anything at all, just extremely outraged and frustrated at the whole situation, and wouldn't mind seeing everything just collapse into chaos because maybe something could come out of it. I don't know. That's just what I was thinking at the moment.
Well, I'm very pleased we've been joined by another caller I haven't heard from lately, Brew from Chicago. Brew, join the conversation with Paul and me.
Good. Yeah, yes. I specifically mentioned Paul, and there's too many four-letter words to involve to get into it right now, so we'll move on. What do you think about the scenario? Joking. What do you think about the scenario of two presidents, Mr. James Fetzer?
Two presidents, Ruth? Well, listen, let me throw into the hopper. William DeBerg, who has a legal background, I published a wonderful blog by him at jamesfetzer.org. And he's suggesting that if the Democrats are able to push through the certification of Biden on the 6th, then the Trump team can appeal to the Supreme Court, which could very reasonably declare that only state legislatures have the constitutional prerogative of choosing electors. So they can request all seven states in question have their electors certified by their legislatures within 1 week. Where if not enough state legislatures threw their electors to Biden to equal 270, then the House would be obligated to vote on a one vote per state basis, which would force GOP state legislators to vote against the massive fraud. There are 26, you know, 50 states, 26 are controlled by the GOP. However, He continues, if the Supreme Court accepts the congressional certification as it is, Trump is finished unless, and this is your scenario, Brew, he chooses not to leave office, then the only constitutional remedy is impeachment. A lot depends on what evidence is forthcoming in the next few days. He adds, I believe the Supreme Court could rule in the above way of requesting the legislatures to confirm that how their electors are being cast, because first, it does fit within the framework of the Constitution, which, of course, delegates that power to the state's legislatures exclusively. And second, the dressing down by the corrupt pedophile Roberts last month pissed off Alito and Thomas and may have done the same with the three new Trump judges. So those are further thoughts about, I think that's the scenario you're contemplating, Brew, am I right?
Yeah, well, this scenario goes back to Nancy Pelosi's little speech where she said, you don't have to be in the White House to be president. You could be president from anywhere. It's not a location. It could be from anywhere. So Biden could be president from his basement. He could be his president from Magic Mountain. He could be president, you know, in exile. Who knows? You don't have to be in the White House to be president. That's what they initially laid the groundwork on. And there's further relevance here that in a lot of countries, there's a laundry list of countries right now that actually have two presidents because one person stood up and said, oh, we don't recognize you. So they took their party and created their own presidency. So this seems to be a trend going around in the world. And we know each and every one of these countries has a kazarian behind the scenes making this happen. They're dividing all these countries and they're looking to divide the United States into West Berlin, East Berlin, North Korea, South Korea. This is what they want to do. And they've already set the game plan in with all this migration. You're going to have all these foreigners that are all under Talmudic presence and communist tendencies and Marxist tendencies. And they're all Muslim, Hindu, this, that, and the other. They would love to have their own little separate country within the United States. This is what the game plan is, I believe, for the most part. Go ahead.
I love it. I got to say that's one of the more astute scenarios that Brew has propounded on many of his calls. Did you come up with that from somewhere else and cobble it together, or is that some of your own thinking on this, Brew?
No, it's partial my thinking plus information I've cobbled together. So,
well, I had missed the Nancy Pelosi making that statement, Brew. I think that's very telling that she would make such a statement. It was really striking in and of itself.
Yeah. You know, what else can you make of all this? I mean, just, you know, the things that you just said in the last few minutes, Jim, and what you've both been talking about, what is the average American person to do but scratch their heads? I mean, I've heard surveys that say that a lot of Democratic voters don't believe the election was legitimate. So, I mean,
a lot of Democrats voted for Trump. Remember, after the Republican convention, C-SPAN had two lines, one for Republicans and one for Democrats. But all the Democrats were calling in to say they were going to vote for Trump. So they had to revise the lines of Trump and Biden, or they wouldn't have any Biden callers at all. I think a lot of Democrats know this is fraudulent.
And they're always doing what they always do, which is to remake our reality for us. Go ahead. You were going to say something, Brew.
Yeah, well, I don't know how to define what the average American is anymore, considering they got all these foreign nationals here. We have all these illegals here. We have all these people that went through pretty much the Common Core, the indoctrination, you know, the Marxism, the hiding what communism is and bashing, you know, whites and bashing religion and Christianity, doing all this stuff. So the average American, and of course, the SSRIs, the people on opioids, the degeneration of their freaking minds. And the brainwashing they take, where today they still think Trump colluded with Russia. They still think the election was fair and square and we should just move forward. They don't have any qualms, you know, no matter what information comes out about Biden and Hunter or Hillary Clinton or any of these other nefarious characters, they still love them. So we don't know what the average American is anymore, because they're walking around wearing a mask, standing in line for a vaccination. They, no matter what you tell them is harmful for them, they still are standing in line for it. And you try to say anything that has any common sense to it whatsoever, like liberty, freedom, you know, whatever, and they freak out. So what's an average American anymore? We can't identify it. Go ahead.
And I will say this too, in addition to everything you just said, and they've been conditioned, and they are being conditioned by this nonsense. That's the thing that's frustrating to me. I've had multiple conversations, because I'm not shy, and I basically just say stuff to strangers. I mean, even if they're, you know, not even looking at me sometimes, but I'll see them, you know, put the hand sanitizer on their hands as they're walking out of the store. I've seen them doing it, coming in the store, going out of the store, leaving, and I say, you know, the chemicals in there aren't any good for you at all. You absorb them through your skin. And a lot of people will engage me. Some people will not even look at me and just continue walking as if I never said anything. But everybody's being conditioned to do all these things, which make no sense at all. The fact of the matter is, if you've ever smelled these hand cleaners, they're horrendous. They got these scent chemicals in there. These fragrance chemicals are known. Most of them are derived from phthalates, okay? And these phthalates are known estrogen mimickers and testosterone suppressors. And this is just the kind of thing that's being done to us all the time. And the average person, I don't know if they can handle it when you slap them in the face with it. Because I do. I slap them in the face all the time. I say, you know, there's nothing in the air you're going to get. The viruses are not exogenous to the body. They're endogenous. You're not going to catch a virus from a surface. You can stop wearing your mask. It's reducing your oxygen. I've had people go, yeah, you know, I've heard that. That makes sense. And 5 minutes later, they still got their mask on. And we're outside.
Well,
I mean, this is a typical exchange I've had with people. Like, we're pumping gas at an outdoor gas station. They got their damn mask on. And I say, you know, you're not going to get a virus anywhere around here. You can take it off if you want. And still, I don't think one person has taken their mask off.
These standard masks, these blue masks, these medical masks, and whatever, they got chemicals. They're all filled with chemicals, and one of them is formaldehyde. So they're literally putting something on their face that has formaldehyde in it. Who knows what else they're spraying on it today? Oh, we're going to have everyone wearing masks. Let's add strychnine to it. Let's add this to it. You know, whatever. Did you see the video? I'm sure you guys have seen the video where they show the school children entering the school and getting sprayed, and they're all spinning around in this little thing getting sprayed. If you were a parent,
I've not seen that.
No, yeah, literally, they're putting up these systems like they're being decontaminated to go into school, and the kids each walk in, and they turn around like back in the old days when the kids used to chase the pesticide truck, the mosquito truck, and you saw all run behind it, and years later they all had cancer. Yeah. This is what these kids are doing. They're spinning around going, give me cancer. Give me this dose, so I have no idea what it is. It's like spraying Lysol in their face, basically. Would you spray Lysol in your child's face?
Right. So Brew and Jim, get this. So there's an article on Renegade Tribune right now. I encourage both of you to go there and see it. I could send you the link. It's basically what is being done to children is evil. And there's all these children's books now. Children's books, you know, like elementary school type books and other various things are being all written and put out there to condition children to this new normal, right? Mask wearing, social distancing. And they all like have these little happy cooperative faces on them. It's just so disgusting.
Well, it does tremendous damage to children who especially need oxygen for their growing bodies and brains. I mean, it causes irreversible brain damage. We have projections of a proliferation of dementia among adults within the next 2 years. And, you know, a generation of brain damaged children who are also deprived by a year of education that are never going to be able to make up. I mean, it's just incredible what's going on here.
Yeah, and see, people like myself and Brew and you, Jim, and we have the vocabulary and we have the, you know, the knowledge. We can touch upon all these different things. But, you know, the average person, you know, again, I know I take, I understand why Brew said what the average person, the average American really means. But not only do they not know, but there's just no time in general. The average individual that you encounter, you know, just does not have either the attention span or the time to take in these things and just a brief conversation with you. And more than likely, they're not going to do it on their own. Do you know that I would estimate probably conservatively that 80% or more of the people I've bumped into don't know the site BitChute. Now, to me, BitChute is one of the larger and most easily recognized video aggregators. But when I talked about, well, people will say, where can I go see this stuff? And I'll mention BitChute and several others. And 80% or more never even heard of BitChute. So this is what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing for sure. But, Brew, this thing about two different presidents, that's kind of a fascinating thought.
That would be some fun, huh?
Well, we've seen a lot of crazy stuff over the years, especially the last four. So, and you can't put anything past them. They have the money. They have the power. They've used our money. They used our means to develop underground cities, their little bases, the money laundering. They've done all sorts of things over the years. Something like that is not beyond their grasp, especially since they're in control of the media that has been done nothing about for the last many decades, and it's and so out of control in the last 4.5 years, it's beyond belief. So they can do anything they want, and they have the mind-warped, zombie, lemming, stupid people that don't even either they have enough knowledge not to care, or they just have no knowledge enough just to be stupidly ignorant to follow them.
Right. And you know, and it's worth remembering, as I just heard recently again on a show this morning, there's a lot of talk about takeover. I've heard this many times, and I believe, as Brew probably does also, that the takeover has already occurred. They've already taken over. They control all these different aspects of, you know, the levers of power, if you will. So what I have, you know, concluded, of course, it's probably easy to reach this conclusion, is that it's either going to be a transformation to this weird dystopian plan that they have in mind, or, you know, and a combination of destruction. You know, forget about takeover. People are talking about, oh, this is a blatant takeover of power. No, they've already taken over. So, you know, we have to get into our heads, this is about destruction. Because even if it's just transformation to a dystopian society, in my opinion, that's still destruction. Because when I look around and I go out and I try to live what semblance of life I have left, the America that I knew, the California that I knew, is destroyed. I can't go to a damn restaurant, a coffee shop. You can't go anywhere, do anything anymore. Think about that for a moment. So I think the American people are right to be, as Jim said, armed and ready, because in my opinion, this cannot stand. If it stands, it's just downhill from here.
I agree. And every day Biden, Harris were in office, they grow stronger, we grow weaker. I think you cannot be put off. And if the courts and the Congress won't straighten this out, it's going to be left to we, the people, to take the responsibility upon our own shoulders in accordance with the Declaration of Independence, that when we're confronted with a tyrannical government, we have the right to take arms and to oppose it. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind.
Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, I'm really troubled because I just don't see any way out. It doesn't look to me like the courts are going to resolve the issue. The Supreme Court has proven to be an abject failure. I like the speculation of William DeBerg that they might actually do something about it, but I think it may just boil down to the American people regaining control of their own government, and it's going to be very messy. Brew, Paul, your thoughts.
Go ahead, Brew.
All right. Well, let's talk takeovers. You know, when we reflect, and I'm not a historian here, and I don't know every exact details and so on. But you know, basically, when they say the Russian Revolution, it was not a revolution; it was a Bolshevik takeover. And how they ended up pulling it off the way they did is they had subverted all the major posts. They subverted the industry. They subverted the education system. They subverted the palace guards. They subverted everything. And when it was time to say go, it was easy peasy because they were already working on the inside to change the thinking, to corrupt, to brainwash, to start to antagonize and do all the things they did. And that's what they did in Russia at the time. They have many decades to be doing that here in the United States, in Canada, and so many other places around the world, Western nations, that their takeover is going to be just as easy because they didn't even have mass media like they do today. They had to do this in one-on-one and face-to-face in little hidden groups, you know, the whispers around the water cooler. But today they got the mass media and you know, so on.
Yes,
they're bidding for them.
The brainwashing is stronger because of that, I think, but I don't think it's going to be easier. I think that because of the internet and a lot more people are awakened to these things, that, and plus the fact of, you know, even in their ignorance, American people still have a defiance and they possess a lot of weaponry that, you know, wasn't there in Russia. There was never the distribution and abundance of arms in Russia that there is here today. So, and let's face it, the police and the military are just, they're not numerous enough to accomplish it. I mean, I was listening to a show the other day, and I don't want to make of it because I haven't checked the figures myself, but the one guy was saying that right now our own U.S. military only has 14 active and ready combat divisions. sounded like a very low number, but, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, how many would they need if they were going to do it militarily? So I don't think it would be easy. And to be honest, I personally believe it will fail. And that's my opinion. You know, what's interesting, though, speaking about the Bolshevik Revolution, is I'm sure Brew has probably seen and read a lot of similar things I have. And we probably have all seen the cables and some of the letters written by the American ambassador and some of the other people at that time talking about the number of New York Jews over there in Russia, that the whole thing was basically being run and orchestrated by a bunch of East Side New York Jews, which I found interesting. So, you know, same old story.
Well, it looks as though January 6th may have less potential for changing the outcome than I have heretofore supposed. I would like to believe that members of Congress presented with massive and overwhelming proof of electoral fraud would seek to straighten things out on behalf of the American people rather than, you know, allow their will to be overridden by a corrupt coterie, including Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, and even the Chief Justice of the United States. I mean, it's just fairly stunning stuff.
Jim, I think that probably one of the articles that's posted on your blog, and I forget the name of the author that you posted, it's recent. You'll know it when I reference it, but I believe he's correct. And I think one of the three reasons he was propounding was the fact that so many of these politicians have been beneficiaries of stolen elections, and that the reason that Sidney Powell and the other people were kind of being pushed out initially was because they were too close to the truth of uncovering, and they don't want to give this up, this whole essentially, you know, Dominion election corruption, vote-stealing operation, which has been around for a very long time, and that they know that this would be the end to domination of these cliques of power within both of the parties. And I think, if I recall correctly, in the article, he mentioned that two of the likely beneficiaries of these vote-stealing operations were Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell. I think you know the article I refer to.
Yes. Let me go. Keep going, Paul. Continue your conversation.
Well, so, you know, to me, that's what strikes me as the most obvious answers to why these politicians. I mean, first of all, many of them are probably corrupt, and there's probably dirt on quite a few of them. But there has to be, in my opinion, well over 50% that have some moral bearing, that have, you know, some integrity. You know, that may not be the case. I don't know. But this would be my guess, because the people that are attempting to pull this off, you know, and thinking about it, they had to have in their mind multiple scenarios. In other words, they couldn't have just said, OK, we're going to do this. It's going to be bold and brazen, and it's going to work. And boom, no problem. We will succeed. No, they had to have plan A, plan B, plan C, in my opinion. I mean, part of the group, whoever you want to call them, Democrats, deep state, you know, so on and so forth, the left, they had to have in mind possible scenarios of what's going to occur, and they had to have those gamed out, in my opinion. So that's why this is of somewhat interest to me. In my opinion, I've always said for a very long time that this is going to come down to a kind of a street brawl. I don't really think politically there's a way out of this, because the system is just too messed up, too rigged, too corrupt. But at least it's interesting for now, because there's going to be a number of scenarios that will play out in the next few days. And Jim, you could either be $20 richer or $20 poorer. I don't know.
Here's a couple of comments on my blog. Live feed from a Trump rally in Dalton, Georgia, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern today. That's, of course, 2 p.m. Central. So that's in about an hour and a half. And that YouTube just censored the story of the Georgia Senate candidate Warnock's arrest for obstructing the Maryland State Police investigation of summer camp child abuse. A truly horrible story. Tucker show also contained Warnock running over his daughter's foot with a car and his own wife saying that he's insane. She actually said he's a very good actor. Who hosts Fidel Castro at a church? Warnock did. Well, that's kind of curious. It's almost bewildering, the state we've reached in American politics. It bears no resemblance to any other episode of our past.
It's hard sometimes not to be nostalgic. I mean, on the one hand, it's good for you, and then on the other hand, it kind of makes you a little sad. I mean, I do it. I've been living here in California since 1970, and I'm sure, Jim, you and your suntan youth were out here enjoying what America was and California was back in the 60s and the 70s. And it's kind of like, wow, did you ever think you'd live to see the day of this kind of nonsense? And yet it has happened, because a particular group of people are very bound and determined to make it happen, to wreck what it is that we had and that we, you know, could have.
You know, another disturbing, you mentioned on my blog, and I think it was actually the William DeBerg about the devil went down to Georgia that you were thinking of, but where Scott Atlas is saying America may not survive the corruption, incompetence, and fraud unleashed by the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, I'm just apprehensive that that could be right, that we may have already destroyed ourselves. I mean, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, but that's it's conceptual. In other words, nothing really has yet to be destroyed except for, what's been put on display is a lot of people's gullibility and idiocy. Yeah, okay, so here, yeah, wait a minute, is that part of it? No, which one is it? Nashville? I think it might be the one by Scott Atlas, you just mentioned it. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, that's the one where I think he talked about the three different possibilities or scenarios. I'm opening it now. Again, I go to your site just like I go to other sites multiple times a week. And, you know, I on occasion will save something or take notes. But as you know, there's just such a tremendous amount of information out there, and it just kind of all flows in one ear and out the other sometimes, does it not?
Yes, yes, yes. Brew, continue your thoughts.
I really don't have any thoughts. I'm just butting in today.
Do you think we can work our way through this catastrophic situation?
You know, the old saying, where there's a will, there's a way, and to never give up, and to, you know, I don't know, resilience. It's it's been the human way, but, you know, it's hard to be so resilient when they have more power, more weapons, more control. You know, you just see yourself, even though, you know, all the things they tried to scare us about all these years, you know, oh, they'll round you up and they'll put you in camps and da 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 da. But here's what they're doing right in your face. Everything that's, you know, these people are evil because this is what they did. This is what they're doing. You know, they've had us so brainwashed to look at these other people as evil. So when they do it, they're not the evil ones, because they've been telling you about all the evil people over all the rest of the years. So it's a quick sleight of hand, but it's more so a mind probe that's put us in a very predicament that we are. And I always refer to the drowning victim. You know, you go out to save somebody and they just keep, you can't save them. They'll take you down with them. This is what we're facing. There's too many out there. They're drowning victims, and they want to take us down with them.
The article on authoritarianism in the United States is extremely good, too. That's by Glenn Greenwald, so, you know, it's pretty fascinating stuff.
I read that one. That was good. I do have respect for him. I like him. I've always thought he's a solid guy.
By the way, have you picked up on the reports I have that Julian Assange has done a massive dump, and it includes all of Hillary's emails and a mass of other stuff?
No, I did not, actually. I'm not sure the American people care so much about Hillary Clinton anymore, but when I started to say, although I understand Bruce's kind of pessimistic look at stuff, and it's completely understandable. I'm not sure I agree with it totally. I just don't think that they're as big as they appear. In other words, they fluff themselves up. But I really do believe it's something that Hitler said about the fact that it's like a rotten, crumbling structure and a couple of good kicks and it all comes down. You know, what I've been doing recently, just because I'm completely insane, is I started to re-listen again to Mein Kampf on audio, which I've done in the past. And I've yet to do the whole thing. I started to read it back in the 80s, but, you know, my mind was just not ready for it at the time. And it's not an easy read. I mean, it's a very sophisticated written, book. But anyway, there are so many moments when you listen to it online on audiobooks, and it's one of the sites I go to, it's read by a guy with a British accent, which I just find really intriguing and interesting to listen to. But there's so many moments of clarity. It's like every third or fourth paragraph, I want to pop up and take notes about a sentence or a phrase that I hear, because it's all there. I mean, it's just all right there for us to see if we were just, you know, if we had eyes to see it. And to say that it's ahead of its time, I suppose, but as I've tried to make the point so many times to people in person and on these calls, that the book on these people has already been written. It's just a lot of people don't want to read it, have never read it, or don't even know that the book exists. But the book on these people has been written, and it just keeps recycling. I just wish more Americans had even a tenth of the clarity that we have, the callers on this show have, because this thing could be over in a hurry. Because, again, I make the point, there just aren't enough people that believe in their BS. I mean, people, hardcore leftist Democrats, Antifa types and so on, I don't believe these people are a very big percentage of the population at all. And I've only had one encounter with law enforcement. Was a guy that I actually called because I wanted him as a sheriff to enforce my right to go into a store, which of course I have under California law, but you know, they've all been told to basically, you know, stay out of it. He confesses to me that he believes what I said. I showed him, I told him about the various laws and my position, and I actually got his email. We exchanged a couple of emails, and I asked him in a phone conversation, because we talked, because when I called to have him come out, he wanted to know what it was, and I told him, and he said, well, the only thing he probably would do was to, you know, probably trespass me from the store. But, of course, there wouldn't be any citation or arrest because I wasn't doing anything wrong. And he knew that. But I asked him the question. I said, in your department, as far as you know, how many people, you know, believe in this and how many people think it's a bunch of BS? And he goes, well, I don't communicate with a lot of people in my department. I know a few, but there's, you know, it's a big department. But he said, in his opinion, 40 to 50% of them don't believe it at all, think it's a bunch of BS and they don't like it. So I would imagine that could be repeated across police and sheriff's departments across this country. And that's why, in my opinion, no matter what starts to happen or what's going to happen, I think that a good percentage of military and police are going to be on our side. I mean, they can't like this crap at all, but, which is, by the way, why they've been putting women and minorities and transgenders and fags and lesbians in police forces and mayors and police chiefs and, you know, district attorneys slots across this country the last 20 years. That's exactly why they've done it, because they know that the average white man is no way going to put up with this crap or believe it. So it comes down again to these very core racial issues, in my opinion.
Brew, your thoughts?
I will pass. Go ahead.
Okay. You're not a potted plant, Brew.
Well, it's so odd, Paul, because these efforts to resurrect, you know, racial issues are all being carried by the Democratic Party. I mean, everyone I know is basically race blind. I mean, I don't care what color someone's skin. Who could care less? It's Martin Luther King's admonition, you know, the content of their character. I look at the actions of the Democrats, and whether they're white or black, whether it's Jesse Jackson or Nancy Pelosi or you know, any of these others who are so prominent, Maxine Waters, I mean, or Eric Swalwell. I mean, the corruption reeks from every pore. I mean, it's just grotesque. They have no integrity whatsoever. I mean, some of them are numbskulls like Maxine Waters, dumber than a post. But she makes all these outrageous statements that are corrupt from beginning to end. Pelosi behind the scenes, pulling the levers, manipulating her chief of staff, turns out to even be the CEO of Dominion Voting Machine, so she could predict a blue wave with great confidence because she knew the game was rigged. I just can't believe there are members of Congress who are going to go along with this. I just can't believe it. So awful. It really speaks to the decay of our nation. Just overwhelming.
You better get used to believing it because it's going to happen. And, the comments I will make here, again, it's a much longer show, and we've had similar discussions, and they're worth having in the future. But the idea that there's different, political viewpoints and behaviors amongst the races, that's not disputable, and I don't think it's beside the point. I mean, as Ann Coulter very well knew, that Trump would win and could win because of the immigration issue. I'm not alone in putting forth the idea that Trump won because of probably three things: drain the swamp, right? Stop ridiculous wars, and end this overwhelming tide of illegal immigration. And I would imagine among those, the immigration issue was key for many people. And, you can say what you will about it. I don't care what color people are, but that's not the point. Okay. Here's the thing. If you're in California the way I have been for 30, 40 years or more, you have seen the change has taken place in only 20 to 25 years. In other words, if you don't maintain control of your territory and stake it out for your group, your nation, your race, then you'll be overrun. And that's what's occurring here. I mean, and I don't want to be overrun, and believe me, I'm not alone, okay? And we're being overrun here in California by Chinese and Indians and Mexicans and so Vietnamese. It's just, it's unreal, the deluge. And so that is real, okay? And these people, the Jews that we talk about, they know that race is real and that it does mean something, and that's why they're always pushing it, and they're using it as a divisive thing.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it's not divisive, or it can't be, because it is. I mean, nobody wants a whole bunch of blacks moving into their neighborhood because it's never good. Now, that, of course, obviously I've known, great black people. I have a couple of black friends right now. I mean, that's a separate issue from the idea that do we need to be importing blacks from Africa, from Somalia and Sudan and Ethiopia? No, we don't. And we don't need them to do jobs, okay? We don't need them to make our country more diverse. These are all these sales pitch of these people that are running the show trying to wreck us as a nation. So that's a separate thing, but, that's my reaction to what you said.
Well, Paul, I think you're well taken. I mean, the immigration issue has to do with economics and a host of other issues, undercutting, the lowest earning wage earners, where Trump has had their wages rising at the fastest rate, which is why 40% already back in December 2019 were declaring they were going to support Donald Trump, which had to send a shiver down the back of every Democratic politician, knowing they wouldn't win another election ever if that were the case. And right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but please, I mean, I know you have your job to do as a host, and you may have your personal views, but it cannot stop at economic. It's not just economic, okay? The bottom line is there's a discomfort level. This is well known and well studied, and it goes – they've done tests with little children who haven't had a chance to be, taught to be racist just by getting their response and showing them pictures of different groups, the in-group and the out-group. It's biological. I mean, I don't like to go somewhere where I'm like very few or like the only white guy. I don't feel comfortable. I would love to still occasionally work on a construction site or a landscaping site, which, the thing I used to do when I was younger. But I just really don't want to. I can't do it now. I don't want to do it because I'm like be the only white guy there, or like maybe one of two. And then there's like 20 others and they're all Mexicans. I just count me out. And it's a similar thing when you go to, go out in public. I don't want to feel like I'm in Asia. If I want to see Chinese people, I want to get on a plane and go to China. Okay. Or maybe go to Chinatown, but they are literally coming in here. And as, one of my ex-clients so well put it back in the 80s, when it was first starting to become very noticeable, And she was a longtime San Francisco Peninsula resident and a sweet old lady. And she goes, they're like locusts. And I remember just chuckling at the time when she said it. And now I absolutely and totally feel like that. And so in my opinion, it's any number of things, but for sure it is racial in the heart and soul. If they were to be honest, a lot of American people would agree. The problem is some of them are afraid to be honest.
Final thoughts here, Brew, a final thought here.
No, not so much. I think I've exhausted anything I could think about. I just wanted to wonder about your two presidents theory, which, you know, again, you know, the hits keep on coming. So, you know, I don't have this information. So what did they vote on? I saw a little screen clip of a sparse attendance at Congress yesterday. So what was the results of that? What did they do?
Well, I think it was just adopting the rules for how the count of the vote ballots would take place, which I just reported. I believe that was.
No, weren't they supposed to vote on a House leader?
Oh, yeah. Pelosi was elected by a relatively narrow margin. Yeah.
Get out of here. See, that's such a farce. Who would elect her? For what reason?
Exactly.
I mean, it's such a farce. The whole thing's a farce. The whole thing's a big freaking dog and pony show. We're being led to slaughter. Yep. That's what I, you know, what every day we're just being fooled, period. We're being led to slaughter. And this is what aggravates me the most. Go ahead.
Well, I'm dismayed in the extreme by any prospect that this could move forward. I'd not heard of the two presidents theory before, Bruce, so I'm glad you brought it out. Paul, a final thought from you before I conclude today.
Yeah, that is an interesting idea too, and it goes along with what I've also seen about the fake inauguration, and why not? I mean, in other words, we had a fake election, okay? We have, and Jim, you've made your career recently of telling us how so many of these things we think are real are all fake. So why not a fake inauguration too? I mean, this is the length that these people are going to go to. And my final thought is, I am glad that the Big Ten will now be represented in the national championship and get that pesky Clemson out of there.
Ohio State was amazing. That was an unbelievably dominating game. Absolutely fascinating. I love it. Paul, I'm so glad you bring that up. God, it was exciting. Rock 'em, sock 'em. That was the most astonishing display of football prowess, Ohio State dismembering Clemson. Listen, to conclude on a more somber note, I want to recommend to everyone
who
to
owns
brace
you?
Yourself. Talk
if you're
about
not
supplies,
in control, then someone
to
else is.
Yourself because
join me,
Ivy
West,
observed,
for Voices on the Wind. Saturday, I discuss government, health, metaphysics,
we'll
suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are
because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of